Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We're located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're glad you tuned in. We pray that today's message is a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238 or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares a message titled, The Power of Patience. Stand Still.
The Bible says in Psalms 150 and verse number 6, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. And I like what the psalmist goes on to say in Psalms 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if you are breathing and you have been redeemed, you ought to say something. Try that again. If you are breathing and you have been redeemed, you ought to have some kind of praise. Come on, team. Somebody.
Oh,
lift those hands all over this place. We're so grateful for those of you that are here today, those that are joining us by way of radio. I want to dedicate this service to a very special radio guest who is a faithful radio listener from Sumter, South Carolina. Her name is Miss Annette Fisher. Amen. We ran into her in Sumter, South Carolina. Some of our members did. And she is such a faithful radio listener for years and years. And I just want to dedicate this services to Miss Annette Fisher and to all of the faithful worshipers on radio and have been for over 40 years. Amen. Lift those hands to the Lord. Eternal Father, we say thank you. God, we bless you and honor you this day. Thank you for reminding us as someone who is redeemed and we are breathing, then we have an obligation to praise you. It was not a suggestion. It says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. So for nothing else, we praise you for waking us up this morning. For no other reason, we praise you for breath in our bodies, and we say thank you. Bless the word that shall come forth today. We know that it will not return unto you void, but it shall do what it has been sent forth to do. This is our prayer. In your name we pray and give thanks. And all the worshipers said amen. Clap those hands and give God a hand of praise. Would you celebrate our worship and arts ministry? Thank you. Amen. This is the sixth and final message in the series entitled The Power of Patience. Patience is that fourth fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians. And in this year of spiritual empowerment, God has given us an assignment since January to go through each one of the fruit of the Spirit. This is the sixth and final message in the power of patience. You don't want to miss the next series. Beginning the first Sunday in September, we're going to talk about the power of kindness and goodness. Look at somebody and say, I hope you come. I hope everybody come. Everybody needs to hear about kindness. Amen and goodness. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 17 is where the text is found. I said to our 8 o'clock congregational audience this morning that I love this text, and I unapologetically speak from texts in the Bible that I think are relevant to us. I went back last night and just to research how many times Mother Jackson from this text in 29 years that I've been pastoring, that I've spoken from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It was 22 messages. 22 messages in 29 years. This is message 23. I hope I live long enough next year to do message 24. Amen. There's a message in the Word. There's something in the Word. Look at somebody and say, there's something in the Word for you. Amen. One verse, one chapter, one book. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17, the New Living Translation. But you will not need to fight. To all you fighters out there, you will not need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. That's why I like you 8 o'clock folk. Y'all talk back to me, okay? And watch the Lord's victories. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Clap those hands, somebody. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Our subject for this message is, as they have been for the last five messages, embedded in the text. Two words found in the text. Look at someone that's standing around you. We're not touching and hugging. Somebody reminded me COVID is still going around. So they say, y'all better talk to Pastor Jackson. He act like there's no COVID. I know there's COVID, but I know God is still on the throne. But I will be careful, okay? Just wave at somebody. Smile at somebody. Here's the subject for today's message. Stand still. Oh, y'all bless somebody. Just wave at them and say, neighbor, I would hug you, but I'm not. But I just want to let you know. Stand still. Clap those hands. Give God a hand of praise as you take your seat. Do I have time to preach this? Since the last message in this series, I want to take my time to preach this message. The iconic modern-day secular author by the name of Thomas L. Friedman, one of my absolute favorite modern authors, in his book called Thank You for Being Late, talks about the benefits of sometimes pushing the pause button and slowing down in life so that we can reconnect to what is truly important. The author, Thomas L. Friedman, says, in this hectic, fast-paced life, we need to find the pause button. Sometimes learn how to just stand still and watch things happen as opposed to trying to make them happen. Friedman suggests in the book that at times it's best to be still and wait on things to happen, as opposed to always feeling as if you've got to go out and make it happen. Look at somebody and say, you don't have to make anything happen. Watch God. We have been so conditioned to believe that when we are in the midst of a crisis, when we're in the midst of trouble, trials, and tribulations, that we have to do something. There are people who have led us to believe that if you're doing nothing, then you ought to get up and do something. They tell you, do something about it. But be careful who you let speak into your spirit. Every voice in your ear ought not go to your heart. Some of them ought to come in one ear and go out the next. Listen, we have become so conditioned to making things happen. I have referred to this mindset as the fix-it mentality. There is a fix-it mentality in which we think we have to fix everything. When you do, you are assuming that God hasn't fixed anything. But I believe, like the old church says, trouble in my way. I had to cry sometime. I laid awake at night, but that's all right. Jesus will fix it after. Wow. One of the things we have to understand is that sometimes, look at your neighbor and say, sometimes it takes more faith to stand still and do nothing. See, the longer I live, the less impressed I am with folk who are always trying to do something. And it used to impress me, oh boy, they're busy. They're always trying to do something. Sometimes you ought to just sit down, shut up, and do nothing. And just wait on the Lord. It takes more. I have seen patient folk. You've seen them, Deacon Albert Simmons, that helped mentor us. And they weren't lazy. They were not slack. They just trust God. I've seen folks say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. And sure enough, God will show up and make things happen. Having the patience to stand still and trust that God will work it out is indeed an act of faith. I want you to hear me now. You aren't somebody because you're always busy. A lot of folk are just busy because they're restless and don't have the faith to wait on God. For the Bible tells us in Psalms 46 and verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Preach, Pastor Jackson. A whole lot of us have missed the next move of God because we were too busy moving around, jumping from here to there, moving from here to there. We miss stuff because we were not patient enough to stand still and watch God. It is important for us to understand that God is not in a hurry. In fact, the church song says you can't hurry God. You've got to learn how to wait. Is there anybody know that he may not come when you want him, but he's on time? Help me encourage somebody and say, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait, I said, on the Lord. Good things come when we learn how to wait. moving about, always getting your hands into something doesn't make you special. It just makes you seem to be somebody who's restless and not depending on God. But I like folk who don't let anybody rush them. Some things, you've heard me say this before, don't trust a cook, that rushing cook. When somebody say, oh, I just threw something together for you, I say, all right, well, you can just hold on to that for a little while. Because when you just got to throw it together, it means no time or love sometimes is put in it. Amen. But I like folk like my grandfather, the late Madison Lumpkin, all the way from Arthurtown off Bluff Road, would start cooking Sunday's dinner on Saturday night. Oh, y'all don't know anything about that. And he would put the pot on and cook it slow. And it will have an aroma in the whole house. And we would go there on Saturday thinking we're going to eat, not knowing, oh, no, this is not for today, but for tomorrow. Oh, I just need, don't y'all fool me, I just need somebody that's got something on the stove in the pot. that God says, I'm working on your next blessing. Somebody ought to help me give God a praise for your next blessing. You've got about 20 seconds to stand to your feet and say, Lord, I thank you. Look at your neighbor, say, it's on the stove. It is on the stove. It's in the pot, but I got it cut down low. Whew. What? Y'all sit down before church breaks out. Being a non-cook like me, what I had to discover that slow means is cooking well. And when you get it, it'll be done and right. Some of you have eaten too many fast meals and it's not done and right. That's why your cholesterol is blowing up. That's why your diabetes is all blown up. You need to learn how to cook slow, and you need to learn how to take, I'm talking about life now, not your food. You need to learn how to take life slow and just wait on the Lord. I just need a handful of witnesses. Not everybody. I just need somebody to tell somebody next to you, when you don't see me move, it doesn't mean God is not moving. See, everything that jumps is not saved. Everything that runs, not saved. Amen. Some of the most sanctified people I've ever met, some of the most blessed people I've ever met, as quiet as they could be, and you don't ever hear them say much in church, but they live the life. Some of you are fast and wrong. Preach, Pastor Jackson. Some of you are busy and evil. In fact, busy people always get into stuff. And that's why they call them busy. Oh, y'all talking back to the preacher today. Look at your neighbor, say, beware of those busybodies. Beware of folk that go to you and you and you and you, and always in the midst of something. You've got to learn how to trust, even if you've got to sit by yourself. Even if you've got to wait by yourself. Even if you got to make it by yourself. Somebody know I'm waiting on the Lord. And when God gets ready, I'll get my breakthrough. Ooh, let me transition to the text. In this incredible text that I have already preached in 29 years, 22 times, Dr. Shaw, this is message number 23 from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This text, and let me put some context on it for you. It involves a righteous king by the name of Jehoshaphat. And what was so unique about Jehoshaphat is that his DNA did not determine his destiny. Because there are a whole lot of folk right now blaming all your faults on your parents. Just so you know, Jehoshaphat had evil parents. His father was one of the most wicked kings of all of Judah and Israel. He built temples to goddesses and to priests who were blatantly false prophets. He brought prostitution not only into Jerusalem, but into the temple of God. Jehoshaphat's father was a wicked and an evil man, but it did not run off on Jehoshaphat. Can I preach to you? Look at somebody, say, you don't have to be like your daddy. The devil is a liar. You don't have to be like no one in your family. Stop blaming your bloodline for your nasty attitude. Well, I just can't help it. Everybody in my family got a bad temper. The devil is a liar. The last time I checked, I thought God was your father and the blood of Jesus ran through your spiritual veins. Jehoshaphat was a righteous man of God who did not have the best example. But God used him to do some mighty things for the kingdom. One day, the enemies of Jehoshaphat conspired against him. You do know when you're righteous, the enemy comes up against you. You do know if there's one way you want to guarantee that the devil doesn't mess with you, belong to him. Because he that belonged to him, he doesn't have to go after. So if the enemy is on your track trying to turn you back, it means you don't belong to him yet. Somebody, can we give God a praise that you got some trouble? Can you give God a praise that you are going through some things in your life? Well, one day, three of the major enemies of Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah, the Edomites, the Moabites, and the Amorites, joined together to form an alliance with the intent of destroying King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. In fact, the Bible tells us in verse 2 of the text that this alliance was described as a vast army. King Jehoshaphat realized that he was outnumbered by this alliance of evil people trying to destroy him. So he goes to the Lord. He does what every righteous person will do when your back is against the wall. You go to the Lord. You don't put your business out on social media. You don't ask people to pray for you that can't even pray for themselves. You know, help me, Holy Ghost. You know how to go to the Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you. Anybody ever went to the Lord and says, me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer? Don't you fool me now. But how many of you at times in your life know you needed a breakthrough from the Lord? You had to go to the Lord for yourself. Note what the text says. Verse 12 of the text says, he goes to God, King Jehoshaphat does, and he says to God, we are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack. And look at what he says. He says, we do not know what to do. I want to make sure I'm in the right place. How many of you can be totally transparent and say, there have been times in my life my back was against the wall, and although I may carry a title in church, but I've got issues I deal with every day. Issues that I don't know how to handle it. Jehoshaphat says, we do not know what to do. He knew that they would not be able to defeat such a mighty force. So he says to the Lord, again in verse 12, he says to the Lord at the end of verse 12, we are looking to you for help. Anyone in here knows my help cometh from the Lord. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help doesn't come from Pastor Jackson. I love my mother, and I will go to her for anything. But I've got sense enough to know that at the end of the day, my help doesn't come from Mother Janie Ruth Lumpkin Jackson. It comes from the Lord. How is there anybody know that, God, I need you for myself? If I'm going to be delivered, I need you. So Jehoshaphat says at the end of verse number 12, we are looking to you, Lord, for help. The Lord responds. I'm going to do something a little different in this message. I'm going to embed the insights within the message. The Lord responds in verse 15, and then we're going to share with you an insight from verse 15. The Lord responds with these words. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. For, here it is, somebody. Here it is, somebody. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Who am I preaching to? You need to encourage somebody and say, this is not your fight. For the battle is not yours, but the Lord. Here's the first insight that I want to embed in this message. Standing still, get your phones out, take a picture of it. If you're waiting till the end, you're going to miss it. Standing still allows us to hear the voice of the Lord. Remember in verse 12, Jehoshaphat speaks to God. In verse 15, God speaks back to Jehoshaphat. But sometimes we can't hear from God because we are too busy moving around. May I preach to somebody? Standing still tunes out distractions and tunes into the voice of God. Perhaps the reason you can't hear God is because you are listening to too many other distractions in your life. Take a break from social media. Take a break from always needing somebody else's opinion and fall down on your knees and say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. Anybody know that you need the Lord? So when we tune out the distractions, we can hear the voice of the Lord. When we stop, listen, here's what God told me. When we stop stressing and pacing and start listening, God speaks with clarity and authority. Some of us stress and pace too much. Some of us walk around stressing, pulling our hair out, eating everything we can get our hands on. We are so stressed out, we don't know what to do, pacing, walking up and down the floor, thinking that if you pace, you'll work it out. Look at somebody and say, the devil is a liar. Here is your assignment for the rest of this week. Stop stressing and pacing and wait on the Lord. And if you stand still, you can hear the voice of the Lord. Is there anybody in here that just said, Lord, I will stay put. I will stand still. I know my back is against the wall. I don't have to work this thing out. I will stand still. Listen, because they were able to stand still, the Lord goes on and speak this word and say, you will not need to fight. In fact, take your positions and watch the Lord's victory. Whew, I am preaching to... Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, put yourself in position to hear from God and to watch what God is about to do on your behalf. When we look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God is about to move. When you block out your friends and your naysayers and your haters and you hear God speak, Lord, thy servant here. Somebody ought to make up your mind for the rest of this week. You're going to block out all the distractions in your life. All the haters and the naysayers, tell all the negative people who always call you, lose my phone number for the next few days. Don't send me no messages. Don't DM me or whatever you do on social media. Don't do anything. I just want you to know that I'm spending some time with God. Somebody say, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. I'm preaching to somebody who ought to take some time to block out everything. Go be by yourself. Go to the park. Park your car. Be by yourself. Walk around by yourself. Pray by yourself. Go to lunch by yourself. Block out everything else and hear the voice. Get ready. Get ready. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, get ready. God is about to speak to you. Woo! Position yourself to hear a word from the Lord. Second thing that happens in this message with King Jehoshaphat, when we stand still, he found out that the Lord fight our battles. When we are trusting that God will make a way somehow. Look at the second insight embedded in the heart of the message. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, standing still demonstrates our faith and trust in God. Tell somebody, neighbor, stop trying to fix everything and lean on God. Somebody ought to make up your mind right now, Pastor Jackson, I am going to trust in the Lord until I die. Anybody ready to trust God? Anybody ready to demonstrate your faith and trust? I just need a handful of folk. I just need somebody who said, now is my time to trust God. Stop fidgeting. Stop pacing. Trust God. You cannot fix everything. May I say that again? Who am I preaching? Let me preach to this side of the church. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you cannot fix everything. If you can fix it, why do you need God? Can I get 100 folk to jump up one time and shout, but God? He is a heart fixer. He is a mind regulator. He is a healer. God is a waymaker. Somebody ought to just look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, let God handle it. Let him handle it. Let him handle it. Let him handle it. Just wave at somebody and say, let God handle it. You need to acknowledge that, Lord, I cannot handle this situation. If you don't show up, I am not going to make it. Y'all got 20 seconds to throw those hands up and say, Father, I trust you. Lord, I'm leaning on you. don't know what to do. I don't know what. Can I get some real folk? Thank you. Thank you. Let the internet audience see you stand one time and shout, Father, I trust you. Here's the third observation and the insight embedded in the observation. Third observation, God spoke to King Jehoshaphat. God raised up a voice. I wish I had time to preach this. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, God will always send a voice to speak to your situation. God sent a word to King Jehoshaphat. Verses 21 and 22. After consulting the people, King appointed singers, worshipers, to walk ahead of the army. I told the church at 8, you ought to put the praisers ahead of the fighters. Can I get a witness? You ought to put the praisers. The next time somebody does you wrong, you don't call your buddy and say, Lord, let's go take care of him. You better call a praiser and say, can we put a praise on what God is about to do? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, put a praise before the army. Put a praise before the fighting. So here it is. God sends the worshipers. God sends the praisers. They began to sing this song. They began to give God praise for his holy splendor. This is what they said. Verse 22 says, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Somebody almost caught it. But look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, give thanks before you are delivered. Look at the text. The text says, give thanks to the Lord before the breakthrough, before they were delivered. God said, you've got to learn how to praise me in advance, knowing that God's going to work it out. Somebody up in here ought to join me and give God. I invite you to praise him. I urge you to praise him. I invite you to praise him. Praise him. You don't have to wait until after the battle, but before the battle is. Where are my praises? Somebody ought to put a praise on it. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, you got 30 seconds to put your best breath. What the text says. Here's what the text says. And at that very moment, they began to praise God. God began to turn their situation around. Their enemies began to fight each other at that very moment.
Somebody just got it. When did it happen, Pastor? The moment they began to say, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. God turned their situation around. So let me try it again. In the next 20 seconds, if you give God your best praise, something is about to. Look at somebody, say, neighbor, God is about to turn your situation. Where are my praises? Get to my third point. Stand to your feet all over this place. Third point says, standing still opens the door for a supernatural move of God. When you move out of the way, God steps in the way. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, position yourself for a supernatural move of God. Come on and praise. Can I get 100 praises to leave your seat, come stand at the altar and look me in the eyes and say, it's about to turn around. So here's the end of the text. Here's the end of the text. Slow. Here's the end of the text. When they got to the battlefield, let me look you in the eye. When they got to the battlefield, the enemy, they were already defeated. Who am I preaching to? Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, when you go to work tomorrow, your enemy will already be defeated. One more time.
Oh, praise him.
All they had to do is go to the battlefield and pick up the enemy's stuff. God defeated the enemies. They left all their possessions on the battlefield. I stopped by to tell you your next blessing is coming as a result of your enemies being defeated. Come on.
Oh, praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. He's been good. He's been kind.
prophesy. God just dropped something. I don't know who this is for, but I need to prophesy, Deacon Albert Simmons. I need to be like Bishop Randolph, Hurricane Jackson. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, your next car, your enemy is about to put a down payment. Your neighbor, say, neighbor, your next house, somebody is about to put a down payment on your next house. And when God gets ready, all you got to do is walk in. Lift those hands all over this place. God is about to open a door for a supernatural move of God on your behalf. A door is about to be open. Woo. A door is about to be open. This is for somebody that your enemy tried to destroy you. They meant it for evil, but God will use it for your good. Ooh. God said it's a door that is about to be opened for a supernatural move of God. All you've got to do is learn how to praise Him. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, He's worthy to be praised. Lift those hands all over this place. Come on. Praise Him.
Praise Him.
Everybody, come on and
praise Him.
Everybody ought to
praise Him.
Ooh, come on and
praise Him.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Blessed Savior.
Blessed Savior.
Sing. I want to share with you an illustration.
God allowed me to see something this past Wednesday. As we know, for the month of August, it's been raining, cloudy, raining. And I like sometimes to go and just get sunshine, get vitamin D. So this past Wednesday, for the first time in a long time, Dick and Carlos, I went on my back porch after I worked out, and the sun was shining. And my goal was to just stay there for a minute. But after a while, here's what happened. A cloud came over the sun, but I did not move. I stayed in that same spot. I stayed right there, hold it right there upstairs. I stayed right there. Cloud was blocking my sunshine. The devil said, well, go back in the house. It's over. You're not gonna get any more today. And I say, the devil is a liar. God says, stand still. God says, stay put. Because after a while, this is what happened. The cloud began to, and the sun came back. Whoa! Grab your, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, the sun is still shining. It may be cloudy, but there's a sunshine beneath your cloud. You better learn how to praise him, Mariah. Come on in, praise him again. Praise him for the sunshine.
Praise him.
Somebody ought to praise him. Look at your neighbor. Say, the sun is back. Come on, y'all help me praise him. Say, the sun is back. It's coming back. It's coming back. Bless him. And the team softly sing, keep singing. And go back to that illustration, DJ, again. Here's my message. The enemy may tell you that it's cloudy, but look at your neighbor and say, stand still. The enemy may tell you that the sun will never shine again. Look at your neighbor and say, be still. I need you to help me bless somebody and say, neighbor, there is still sun behind that cloud. Woo! And all we have to do is wait till the cloud moves. The sun is still there. Look at it. It's back. Tell somebody it's back. It's back. It's back. It's back. It's back.
What's his name?
Oh, Jesus.
Something happens when I call on that name. Jesus. But he can heal. Listen, but you will not even need to fight. Take your positions. Then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. You remember that illustration I showed you? If I would have listened to the negative voices in my head, I would have left my back porch and gone into the house and missed it when the sun came out again. But I need you to look at somebody and say, neighbor, the sun is coming back in your life. Deliverance is on his way to your house. A breakthrough is about to happen to you. Close those eyes right now. Just like I learned on Wednesday afternoon, Deacon Abbott Simmons, to just stay put and don't be fooled by the dark clouds, because something in my head spoke to me and say, behind every dark cloud, the sun is still shining. Mother Ellen Lumpkin, behind every dark cloud, the sun is still shining. Ooh, anybody know it's still shining? Close those eyes.
You've been listening to the worship services of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off I-77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We're also streaming live on our website, bwcar.org, or on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and now on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you've missed any of our services and would like to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for CD or DVD of today's message entitled, The Power of Patience, Stand Still, please call us at 803-776-1238. Reference sermon number 081725. Again, the number is 803-776-1238. Sermon number 081725. August is Children and Youth Month at Bible Way. Tuesday, August 26th, 7 p.m. in the sanctuary. Join us for midweek services hosted by our Children and Youth Ministry, with our own youth minister, Courtney Jackson. Sunday, August 31st, join us for Children and Youth Day, Kingdom Business, as we welcome Minister Jonathan Chambers at our 8 a.m. morning worship service, and special guest Autumn Simone Tisdale at our 11 a.m. morning service. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by checking the link on our website at bwcar.org. Or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to 73256. That's 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please don't mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 noon until 6 p.m. Thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.